Great, great, great to be with you. Great to be able to connect a little bit before, hang out, have some food, and worship together, and now to be able to open up God's Word together. Love these men's arsenal nights. Let me start with the story. Back in 1994, I went with some buddies up to Wisconsin, went to a cabin, a lake. We were going to hang out, relax, fish a bit, and it was a good weekend, but we got up one morning, and my friends were like, hey, let's go for a hike. Now, I don't know if you like hiking. If I'm going to work out, I'd prefer to be walking or jogging on a track, not hiking in the woods. That's just me, but they wanted to go, and so I said, all right, let's go. So we started on our hike. We're about 20 minutes in, and there was a spot where the path kind of split off into two paths, and so there was no directional signs or anything, and so we kind of had to figure out, all right, take our best guess, which one's going to get us back to the cabin quicker. Let's take this one. We were wrong. So we take this path, and what ended up being what we thought was about a one-hour hike that day was a seven-hour hike. 7 hours I would love to have back, but it was so bad, our path that we chose actually ended, and so we were like, all right, we got to get back to the lake, so we were kind of cutting through some of the trees, getting scratched a bit, getting back to the lake, so then we could border the lake to go find our cabin, right? And we get back to the cabin, and we all kind of looked at each other, as all of us kind of thinking the same thing, right? As we kind of stared at each other like, oh, man, why didn't we choose the other path, you know? But life's a lot like that. There are right paths, and there are wrong paths. In fact, the Bible speaks like that, too. Matthew 7, Jesus himself says that broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many go that way, but narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And so as we look into Psalm 1 tonight, that's where we're going to be. We're going to see two paths. We're going to see the path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. So two roads, two paths, but listen, two lives, two souls, two destinies. That's where Psalm 1 is going. And one path leads to happiness, the other to misery. One path leads to salvation and everlasting life, the other to everlasting death. These are the paths of life, the scripture says. They go in very different directions. All right, so grab your Bible, go to Psalm 1. The title of the message is called Blessed is the Man. And we're going to dive into this here with point one. It's this, separation. Blessed is the man who determines to daily move away from sin and not draw closer to it. All right, blessed is the man who determines daily to move away from sin and not draw closer to it. All right, I'm going to get into verse 1 in a second, but let me say this. Psalm 1 is considered a wisdom psalm. It's the opener of this book of 150 psalms. It starts with this promise of blessing. Blessed, verse 1, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. That word blessed is used 26 times in the psalms alone, and it means, you could say, permanently happy. All right, overflowing joy or completely satisfied. One way I read defined this week that I really liked was this. Oh, the happiness many times over, right? Blessed. Oh, the happiness many times over. And this is such a relatable topic because who doesn't want to be happy? In fact, you could survey about any age group and say, what do you want out of life? And high on the list of about every age group on the survey would be, well, I want to be happy, right? And we all fall into this way of thinking. I was watching a movie not too long ago with my wife, and the couple at the end of the movie, you know, they were engaged, they ended up getting married, and it was kind of a rough story, but they ended up together at the end, and I thought to myself, well, I'm really glad they found happiness, you know? So we kind of fall into that way, but the Bible really is going to tell us, it's going to give us real wisdom and tell us, like, what is real happiness? How is it to be, we can have overflowing joy? What does that look like in our life? What would cause such happiness? And let me just say this as we are about to jump into verse 1. It's not a formula to solve, right? It's not how much I can accumulate. It's not muscle the day in my own strength. This is the life of a man who's totally devoted to Jesus Christ, you're going to see. This is the life of a man who lives in a daily, life-giving relationship with God, a life lived by faith. And as verse 1 is going to show us, this man is not compromising. All right? He's not moving closer to sin. He's standing strong. He's resisting anything that would erode his commitment to a God-centered life. Certainly not a perfect man. None of us are. There's only one perfect, Jesus Christ, but pure and gradually progressing here, keeping himself separate from sin. All right? Is that you? Let's look and see if you could be defined here as the Psalm 1 man. Look how verse 1 describes this blessed man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Okay, so three negatives here. In fact, this first verse, the psalmist is going to give us three groups of three. All right, and I wanted you to see this outline, so I had a picture made just to put up on the screen. So if you guys want to throw that up there, you can kind of follow along and see the way he's going to go here with this first verse. So the first part is the blessed man walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Everybody say not. Right? Not in the counsel of the wicked. And walking is kind of a casual movement. Counsel, you could say, is advice, and the people described are the wicked. So walk, counsel, and wicked. So you could say it this way: the blessed man, all right, he does not casually fall into the advice of wicked people. All right, listen, we think differently than the wicked. We steer clear of following after their advice. We don't believe it. We don't go along with it. And so we have to be wise, right, about who we listen to. Right? Whether it's people at work, whether it's people you hang with, whether it's a podcast that you just casually pull up, we have to be careful because not all advice is good advice. Not every word of counsel is good counsel. And so the scripture says, happy many times over is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. All right, look at the next category here as you see it. It says here, nor stands in the way of sinners. So blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor does he stand in the way of sinners. And you can see there in the graphic, he's gone from walking to that next step here, which is standing. You can see the erosion. You can see the furthering compromise that's happening. He was a passerby walking. Now he takes his stand. And he doesn't stand against the way of sinners. He stands with them. So the idea here is he's participating with. He's staying a while. He's participating in their way of life. The man has stopped walking by. He's now hanging with. All right, he's hanging out with those who sin against God. That way of life has become more important to him than Christ's way of life. He's hanging there. Sin has become a pattern, you could say. Sinners have become close friends. He's not looking to evangelize them. He's looking to imitate them. And so three groups here, guys, of descending tragedy. All right, it goes from lesser agreement to further agreement. That's what the psalmist is trying to say. And so now he goes to the third category. You could see it there on the screen as well. Right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. All right? Walking, standing with, now taking his seat. He has become one of them. All right? This is full-on belonging. He's taken his seat. He's sitting with scoffers, those who brag about their sin, those who mock God. He is at their table. He is one of them, right? Once influenced by them to come with them, now seated with them and influencing others to come along against God. And so you can see it was a walking to a sitting, right? A listening to an acting to a now belonging with wicked, sinful, scoffing people. And so this in verse 1, as it opens up, wisdom psalm is a warning to us. And so I wrote this down. Look, it's a happy state to not get sucked into sin. That's what verse 1 is going. But to keep guys moving away from it in a daily way. We go down this road, the Bible says, loss of happiness, loss of joy. It's not the path that we want to take or be on. In fact, I read a quote this week, and it says this: oh, how happy is the man who does not get trapped into sin and then decides to go a little further into it, and then full-on gives his life to it. That's verse 1. Oh, how happy is the man, right? He doesn't get trapped into sin, then go a little further, and then give his life over to it. And so the warning here is to steer clear of anything that would draw us down this road, not to be squeezed into the world's mold, not to compromise, right? If we allow it to, sin will take us down. Right? One day after the next, it'll wrap its tentacles around us and squeeze the happiness, the joy, right out of us. In fact, back in 2015 is when we moved to Central Illinois, and when we moved into our home, we had this really nice tree in the backyard. It was our best one. Massive tree. In the spring, beautiful green colors. In the fall, huge tree, beautiful, massive fall colors. It was great. The kids loved to climb in it. And, you know, I noticed about a year or two in that some of the branches then started to kind of rot and die. It wasn't getting as green. And so I had someone come and look at it at a tree service. I said, maybe you could prune it. So they pruned it, and I thought maybe that would help. It actually got worse, right? More branches were dying. Some of the storms would come, and the wind would just kind of shear some of the branches off of this beautiful tree. And so finally, we figured out what was going on. Our once healthy, strong tree is choking itself, right? The roots have kind of wrapped around itself, and it's kind of squeezing the life out of this once beautiful tree. And guys, that's really what sin does to us. It wraps kind of around us. It chokes the happiness right from us. It squeezes the joy out. We think that sin will satisfy. That's the deception. That's the carrot out front. That's the lie. But it doesn't satisfy. It overpromises and it underdelivers, and it leaves us miserable, not happy, not blessed as that man in Psalm 1 is. And so if anything here, you could say, like, at this point, not only a warning, but this is a huge reminder to me, guys, that only our God satisfies. Only God satisfies. We're not going to find it in the world. We're not going to find it by looking in. We look out to Christ. God is the one that fully satisfies. So let me ask you a few questions here. Just some to ponder and think on. I ask them to myself as well. Do you find yourself compromising when it comes to sin? Do you find yourself choosing things that you once wouldn't even think about? Do you find yourself going to places that you once purposefully avoided? Do you find yourself looking at things that you once turned from? Do you find yourself hanging more with the wicked as opposed to standing with the righteous? Would the people who know you best describe you as being an influencer for Christ in those crowds and in the world, or being influenced by the world? True happiness is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? True happiness is found in walking with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Real joy is found in God. And Psalm 1:1 tells us, blessed is the man who determines to daily move away from sin and not draw closer to it. All right, that's point one. That's verse one. Let's move into point two. Point two is this meditation. Blessed is the man who loves God's word and thinks about it constantly. All right, so we're going to move from a negative example there in verse one now to the positive in verse 2. So let me read into it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So we can see the positive example now. What does the blessed man do? Well, instead of listening to and believing and going along with wicked people, sinners, the blessed man believes, he meditates on, he delights himself in the law of the Lord. All right, the text there, as you see it right there, it says his delight is in the law of the Lord. All right, and the word law there is the Hebrew Torah. And in the broad sense, it really, guys, refers to any instruction or counsel flowing from the revelation of God. All right, so yes, the Old Testament, and then extended into the New Testament, right? So basically all of this book. And so ultimately, the psalmist is saying that the blessed man, he has set his affection on, and he loves the entire Word of God. In fact, that man, it's become his delight. And he finds great joy and delight in the Scripture. What do you delight in? What makes you happy? The blessed man, it says, loves the Word of God. It gives him joy as he reads it, as he ponders it. And so the Word of God to him, it's not burdensome. Reading God's Word is not like an interruption to his day. He doesn't kind of speed through it in the morning and then kind of just race out of it because he's got better things to do, right? He doesn't open it on Sunday and get a little fired up about it on Sunday, but then set it up on the shelf for the rest of the 6 days, right? He's excited about the Word of God. That's the blessed man, the happy man. In fact, it reminds me of the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 15:16, he says, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and they became to me the joy and the delight of my heart." Right? So at one point, not. Finds God's word, eats God's word, takes it in, and it becomes to him the delight of his heart. And so the blessed man delights in God's word. It goes on to say here that he meditates on it day and night. You see that? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So you could say it like this, delighting in God's word and meditating on God's word, it kind of goes hand in hand. And I wrote this little phrase down, what we love, we spend time with, we think about, we fill our life with. All right. What we love, we spend time with, we think about, we fill our life with. Do you think more about the Bible or your favorite hobby, right? Do you think more about God's word or it kind of passes through, read it in the morning, and then it's kind of gone till the next day? Delighting in the word of God. I asked myself this question this week. Mark, did you open up your fantasy football app this week more than you opened up the scripture? Right? Delighting in the Word of God and then meditating on the Scripture. And the idea of meditating here is not like a false religion would promote, sitting still and emptying your mind or emptying yourself. So not, everybody say not that. Okay, not that at all. That's not that. The Bible, in fact, tells us to fill our mind, not to empty it, but to fill it with Scripture. Right? In fact, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You go down a little further in verse 16 in Colossians 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so this idea of delighting in and meditating on it goes hand in hand. I'm reading God's word. I'm thinking about God's word. It's becoming to me a delight. In fact, John Piper said it like this in terms of this word meditation. He says, meditation is serious pondering of each verse of the Bible for the sake of great spiritual joy. So you can see it going together, this meditation and this joy. Meditation is serious pondering of each verse of the Bible for the sake of great spiritual joy. And so meditating on it, as it says here, day and night. The idea is continual. Meditating day, meditating night. So each day, each night, I'm soaking in what? Each word, each verse, each chapter of this book that God has given to us, this gift that God has given to us, his very word, his very heart given to us. I read a little bit, I ponder it. I read a little bit more, I ponder it some more. Blessed is that man. You can think about like a cow chewing the cud, right? You take in God's word, you chew on it a bit, you digest it, you bring it back up, you think about it some more, you bring it down, you bring it up, you chew on it some more. You can't say this at a woman's event, right? But this is chewing the cud. Become like a cow in your Bible reading. In fact, another way I could illustrate this is, I don't know if you like candy, but I heard this one time, is think about your Bible reading and the way that you treat Scripture more like a Jolly Rancher and not like a Hershey's Kiss. And the idea is, like with the Hershey's Kiss, like you kind of pop it in your mouth, 2-3 bites, it's gone, right? The flavor only lasts a short amount of time. But with the Jolly Rancher, right? You put it in your mouth, you kind of savor it, it's in your mouth for a while, you're kind of getting all the goodness, all the flavor out of it, right? You keep it there. And that's the same idea here in terms of meditation, right? That's how we should treat God's Word. We let it fill us. We let it dwell in us richly. We meditate on God's Word day and night, getting all the goodness out of it, right? Not settling for silver, but mining for gold, man, just getting everything out of this incredible book that God has given to us, all right? And what happens when I do that, I delight. And then so I meditate some more on it. And then I meditate some more on it, so then I begin to delight some more, and it goes on and on. Oh, the happiness many times over. The Bible makes me happy, right? So blessed is the man who's not walking in the counsel of the wicked, nor is he standing in the way of sinners, nor has he taken his seat with scoffers, but instead, this man, this blessed man, his delight is in God's Word. And on God's Word, he's meditating day and night. The blessed man constantly is setting his mind on the truths of the Bible. He thinks about them day and night. And so, like I said, what fills your mind fills your life, so fill it with truth. Because listen, our God is powerful, amen? And he uses his word in our lives in a very personal way, right? This is a supernatural book. This is God's word to us. And so God changes our lives. That's 2 Timothy 3, right? From the scriptures, you understood salvation. From the scriptures, you became a man who's being trained up into righteousness. And so this book is a delight. It's a joy, it's a gift, and I'm thinking about it day and night. When we do that, when we live like the Psalm 1 man, it leads, it says, to great success. All right, so look at verse 3. It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Verse 1, guys, gave us three negatives, right? He's not walking with the counsel of the wicked. He's not standing in the way of sinners. He's not sitting in the seat of scoffers. Verse 2 gave us these two positives, right? Instead, what? He's delighting in God's word. He's meditating on. And now we get a picture. Verse 3 gives us a picture. It declares the end result. He, right, the Psalm 1 man, who's not walking with sinners, who's delighting and meditating on the word, he's like a tree. All right, here's the metaphor. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. Get the picture in your mind. That tree is yielding its fruit in its season. Its leaf is not withering. In all that he does, back to he, in all that he does, he prospers. Think of this massive, healthy, fruitful tree. That's the metaphor of this man. So he's planted by streams of water. He's stable. He's solid. He's strong. He's deeply rooted. He's drinking up all the water. He's fruitful, right? He's yielding its fruit in season. He's fruitful. He's healthy. He's growing. There's an abundance of fruit in his life. He's unshakable. His leaf does not wither. Even during difficult days, even during tough seasons, he stands tall. He stands undaunted. He is unshakable. And he is prosperous, it says. In all that he does, he prospers. And so he, ready? This is important, right? Because we could go a lot of different directions with this word. Here's where it's going to go. He fulfills the goals that God has designed for his life. That's real prosperity. He fulfills the goals that God has designed for his life. In all that he does, he prospers. This is a metaphor. This brings me a lot of hope. This is a metaphor of what our lives can look like. I mean, this is awesome. If you choose to maintain a pure, uncompromising walk, If you begin to delight in God's word and think about God's word day and night, he's saying, that man, you, me, we will grow into a stable, strong, reliable, fruitful, spiritual tree. That's the metaphor for us. That's the hope. That's the promise. That's the encouragement. And so what can we do? What are some practical steps to begin to delight in God's word, to begin to meditate on it more? I'm glad you asked. I've got five things here to end this point, five brief things here, five ways to really begin to delight in God's word and meditate on it more. All right, very practical here. I'm going to give you just five things you can begin to do to delight in God's word and meditate on it some more. First one, right? Read it daily. Man, read God's word daily. Have a plan. Have a plan to read it. Have a regular meeting place with God. And read the word every single day. Whether that's three verses, whether that's three chapters, whatever it is, just drink God's word in. Have a regular time with God. Read it daily. And listen, if you're like, I'm not sure where to start. If you were here Sunday, you got that phenomenal Revelation book. And in there has all of the sermon notes and all the reading plans here for this first part of the series. If you do not have a book, I can get you one tonight, or you can pick one up on Sunday when you come, but that is a start. If you're like, I don't know where to get into God's word, read the reading plan, all right? It'll get you into God's word, and it'll prepare you then for the Sunday messages. All right, number two, memorize God's word. Memorize God's word. So have a memory plan. Take one scripture a week. If it has to be one scripture every 2 weeks, that's fine. And just say it over and over. In fact, what I like to do is take a 3x5 card. I like to write it out by hand. It helps me memorize it when I'm writing it out. And then I carry it along with me to places at times. And I just pull it out wherever I'm at. I got a spot that I can stop. I'll pull it out and I'll work on it. And in fact, I heard it said that if you read it 7 times a day for 7 days, you pretty much got that scripture. You know, read it to yourself and think on it 7 times a day for 7 days, or for a week, you pretty much got it. So read the word daily, memorize God's word. Here's the third one. Pick a friend and text about a Bible passage every day. If you're in an impact group, man, that comes really naturally, or you can do that. Share one thing you learned from wherever it is that you're reading. Here's what I read. Here's one thing that really was the most meaningful to me today. Here's really what stuck out to me. All right, it keeps you accountable. There's an encouragement that comes from sharing it with each other. So the idea is really simple. Pick a dude and text each other every single day. It doesn't have to be long. Just here's what I read. Here's what God did. So cultivating this delight and this meditation of, I'm reading the word, I'm memorizing it, I'm sharing it with a friend. Here's the fourth one. Again, real practical. Download the ESV Bible app on your phone. So download the Bible app on your phone and just listen to it. Maybe you're on a walk. Maybe you're at a lunch break. Maybe you've just got some time where you just want to sit back and you're like, man, I don't have my Bible with me. I just want to read. I just want to listen. So I listen to it, maybe in your car, right? So pick a book of the Bible, hit play. Listen to it read, right? When something sticks out to you, hit pause. Think about it, and then hit play again. Just let the word of God be spoken out loud to you, all right? So download the ESV Bible app and listen to it. All right, so read it, memorize it, pick a friend and share it, download the Bible app, listen to it, and then finally, number five. Again, there's a number of different ways here. These are the five that I chose. You can encourage each other later with more ideas, but give these a try. Number five, I just wrote, take a passage of Scripture and break it into thirds. All right, so here's the verses that I'm going to read today. I'm going to break it into thirds. In the first part, I'm going to read it in the morning, and I'm going to think about it in the morning. In the afternoon, I'm going to read the middle section, and I'm going to think about it in the afternoon. And then the last section, I'm going to read in the evening, and I'm going to think about that a bit. So whether it's three verses or just one verse cut into three parts, whatever you want it to be, right? Just take the scripture, spend some time then meditating on it day and night. That helps us to think about it throughout the day. In fact, maybe you just want to journal something too. at the end of every day, here's one thing that stuck out to me from my reading. All right? So a few ideas there. Read it, memorize it, share it with a friend, download it and listen to it, and take a passage of scripture, cut it into thirds, and just read it and think about it. All right? Blessed is the man who loves God's word, who thinks about it constantly. Remember I said if we take a survey, many people would say, what do you want in life? I want to be happy. The scripture tells us, right? Keeping myself, moving away from sin, and delighting and meditating on God's word is bringing a real joy to my heart. Real joy. Let's move to point three. A destination. Blessed is the man who has trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He will be in heaven with God forever. All right, we're going to move into verses 4 to 6. Let me read all three of these verses. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The way of the wicked will perish. Guys, turn to Christ in faith and in repentance. He's the only one that has perfectly lived this psalm. And he is the only sinless Savior of the world. Listen, the psalm so far has been pretty practical in its wisdom. But as we move into verses 4 to 6, as you heard me read, the psalmist, he kind of backs up a bit. He zooms out. He gives us a bigger picture. He gives us this eternal view now. And so verses 1 to 3, you could say, well, that's the God-centered life. Verses 4 to 6, you could say, is the self-centered life. Or you could say it like this. Verses 1 to 3 begins to describe the righteous man's life. Verses 4 through 6 kind of begins to describe the wicked man's life. And so you could really break the psalm into two parts if you wanted to, the righteous versus the wicked. Again, like I said in the beginning, two paths, two roads, two ways, two lives, two souls, two destinies. And so which path are you on? That's a vital question. Because look at verse 4. He just described this incredible tree, right? The righteous man looks like that tree. He says, the wicked are not so. What describes them? Well, they are like chaff that the wind drives away. The wicked are not so. That could be translated this. Not so the wicked. Right? The righteous man, he's happy many times over. Not so the wicked. The righteous man, he delights in God's word. He's meditating on God's word. Not so the wicked. The righteous man, he's like this incredible, fruitful, stable, rooted tree. Not so the wicked. The righteous, he's fruitful. He's prosperous in all that he does. Not so the wicked. And so not the tree example here. Instead, he moves into verse 4. He gives the picture of the wicked being like chaff. And chaff being, as you know, the paper-like skin of the grain seed, right, that separates at the time of threshing. In fact, I read this week in one of the commentaries that the threshing floors of Palestine were actually on hills that received the best breezes. And the grain would be gathered, brought up to the elevated place of the threshing floor and crushed. Then the grain would be pitched high in the air and the wind would blow the chaff, right, consisting of the husks and the broken straw, and the wind would blow that, leaving the heavier grain to fall back down to the threshing floor. And so even the worthless chaff that didn't blow away would be gathered up and then burned in a pit. And so guys, here's the thing. No matter how great or big or awesome the wicked may seem, the Bible tells us they are gone with the wind. They're gone with the wind. They're like chaff. Now that is a very sobering picture and should make our hearts bleed a bit for evangelism as we see the reality of a life. Verse 5 gives us more description here. It says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They won't stand in the judgment. Here's what it means. They don't have a leg to stand on. The wicked will not be able to take their stand or to stand up confidently on that day before God because they will not have God's acceptance through Christ when they stand before him in the last day. They'll really be exposed for what they are because God looks on the heart. He goes on to say that nor will sinners be in the congregation of the righteous. So wicked and sinners used interchangeably here. Not allowed to remain in the presence of God's people. All right? The righteous ones who through faith in Christ, we are righteous because of him, because of Jesus, because of what he's done, because of our faith in Christ declared righteous, but they'll be excluded from that joyful fellowship with the saints. That's not the place they will go. We are in the party. They are out of the party. Psalm 1 gets really sobering really fast as we look at these two ways, two lives. And there is a clear distinction then between the righteous and the wicked. They don't have the same future. Right? One is blessed, one is not. One is drawn in, one is cast out. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This last verse, you could think of it like a summary. It should be a great comfort to us in Christ, to those who are declared righteous because of Jesus alone. It's a great comfort, but it should put a great fear into those described as wicked, those who are outside, not in Christ. The thing is, two paths, two ways, God sees the heart. He knows with which path you're on, but here's the hope, right? Bringing this all to this place of hope is God has made a way for you to get off the wrong path and get on the right path. He's made a way. He's made it really clear. It's through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the way, the truth, and the life. The way of the wicked, it says, you can see how the psalm ends, but the way of the wicked will perish. But in Christ, what? You shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so listen, as you sit here tonight, don't miss it. Which path are you on? A crucial, vital question, because the Bible doesn't give us any wiggle room for in between. We're not standing between paths. We're on one path or the other path. And there's only one way to determine which side, which path you're on. His name is Jesus Christ. It is all about him. He's the only one who can make us righteous. He's the only one that could take chaff back in 2001 and make him a tree. He's the only one that can do that. It's all in Christ. All the blessings, all the happiness, all the joy is found in him. And so let me ask you, you're here tonight. God has brought you here for a reason. Have you, A, admitted that you are a sinner? If you recognize that the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we have trampled on the glory of God, we have lived for ourselves. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says it's a gift of God's salvation as we can't work our way there. I admit that I'm a sinner. B, I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man comes to the Father except through me. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. He is God. He is sinless. He is perfect. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross in our place. He rose again, amen? He rose victoriously on the third day. And so have you admitted that you're a sinner, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now see, confessed him as the Lord over your life, that he's in charge. He's in charge. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I had a guy just this past week say to me, I've done the A, I admit it, I recognize that I'm a sinner, I believe in Jesus Christ, but he said, Pastor Mario, I've never done that. I've never made that decision. He's always been kind of far off. And I said, well, it's time to bring it close and make it personal. He's there. He's waiting for you. His promises are just as true for you as it is for everybody else. And he bowed his head and confessed Christ as Lord. He was saved. What did he do? He moved from one path to the next, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And so which path are you on? A, B, C. Admit, believe, confess. It's the only way. It's all because of Jesus Christ. In him I have it all. He gave it all, and I have it all in him. I am declared righteous because of him, and I will be with him forever. So in closing, are you blessed? Are you happy many times over? Start with this. Confess him as Lord if you've never done that. Right? He's the only one where true happiness is found. Then know, right, that in Christ, the blessed man is determining to daily move away from sin, right, not drawing closer to it. And then finally, what? Begin to delight yourself in God's word. Begin to meditate on it day and night. Blessed is that man. Let's pray.